Well, hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 27th, 2012, and I'm going to take a survey right now. I'm looking out through my radio glasses. How many of you were tuned in Wednesday?
Do we wait for a response? Do you have that button you press and you hear like the cheering or...
Well, then I know you're back today to hear what we're going to share on the book of Jude. So we're going to get to that in just a moment, I promise. And I know on Wednesday we were going to talk about Jude, and I didn't even get to sidetrack you on the three announcements that I wanted to make. And I mentioned on Wednesday I'd be making them today, but we never even got there because I got so caught up in sharing my devotional reading and calling you Jason Ezra Schiffo. And then we
did have to put a Ben in front of that, Jason Ben Ezra. That'll make me real Jewish.
Yeah, but if you were tuned in Wednesday, you kind of got the whole gist of getting derailed and then derailed on the derailment and then the tangent of the derailed derailment. But it was a fun program, and it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. But I didn't have a chance because we got so caught up in just the unique way that God used Ezra and how Ezra was influential in King Xerxes and just in the society, bringing people back to the Lord and the scriptures and the Jewish traditions and the rebuilding of the temple. And I won't get us all fired up because I know it was just a fun conversation, but I think a powerful conversation, and quite possibly, and we prayed afterwards, a convicting conversation, a conviction from God, and a true conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit draws you to God. It's not one of those condemnation where you're turned away from God because of sin or disobedience. True conviction from the Holy Spirit will bring change. It'll heighten your awareness of, gosh, I need to grow in that area, or I never looked at it that way. But it'll cause you to draw on God's strength or on His mercy or His grace or His forgiveness. And anyways, we had a good conversation, but we're going to get into Jude in just a minute here, Jason, but I do have an official date and price for the Creation Museum trip. We're going to be going to the Creation Museum on August 17th. It's a Friday. It's about 3 weeks away. The cost is $70, and that includes also entrance into the planetarium. That's a really neat showing. I guess you were there a few weeks ago. That alone is like $7 or $8, and we kind of have the whole package cost, the bus, the motor coach, deluxe motor coach with Marie's tours, has a bathroom on it. It's about a 4.5 hour drive. We'll be leaving the Champaign-Urbana area, Marketplace Mall, by 6:30 sharp. No later than 6:30, we will be taking off, heading towards Danville in Indiana. So we'll probably have a pickup either in Danville or maybe at the Beef House. We'll see how that all works out on that Friday, August 17th, and the $70 will include the entrance into the museum. It'll include the deluxe motor coach, some snacks on the bus, and then as far as meals, we'll allow people to do that on their own. If you want to bring a sack lunch for the trip up, and we'll provide a couple different places where either at the museum you can eat or a special restaurant when we're returning home. So more to say about that, but it is $70. The date is Friday, August 17th. You need to pay in advance. And if we do fill more than one busload, I'm willing to entertain the idea of a second bus. I think I have about 30 names down now, but this would be the time, if you want to go, send in your check. It's $70 per person. Like I said, that covers all the costs. And you can mail that to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or if you want to call it in through your credit card, you can do that. Or you can go to our website and do it through PayPal. But we need to know that it's not a donation to the station. This is for the cost of a deluxe motor coach to the Creation Museum on Friday, August 17th. The cost is $70 per person. So if you want to be a part of that, get your money in or call it in and let us know you're mailing it in so we can start putting your name down, because it'll be a first come, first serve. Once we fill the first bus, we'll stop there, but it will start taking names. And if suddenly we get 40 or 50 more, we'll do a second bus. But again, $70, August 17th. It's a Friday, and that will be to the Creation Museum. It's right on the Kentucky-Ohio border. So it's about a 4.5 hour bus drive from the greater Champaign-Urbana area. For our Indiana listeners, it'll be only like about a two and a half hour drive. So we'll work out arrangements and a couple pickups. Another announcement, and this is all coming together on Saturday, September 8th at the Moody Bible Institute, the Torrey Gray Auditorium, Signature Sound. Ernie Haas and Signature Sound will be putting on a special concert. And we're still working out the cost, but we're definitely going to be taking a bus up to Chicago to enjoy Ernie Haas and Signature Sound at the Moody Bible Institute, the Torrey Gray Auditorium. The cost will be probably around $40 or so dollars, but the date is Saturday, September 8th. So if you want to put that on your calendar, we'll be taking a bus up to Chicago with probably one stop in Paxton, and we'll be departing from Marketplace Mall probably around 2 o'clock on that Saturday, returning later that night. So that's another thing you can put on your calendar. And then finally, and we've been praying this up for some months, Jason, and we're excited to finally announce that the mission trip to Israel, I'm calling it like Serve and Tour, like Surf and Turf, but it's the Serve and Tour trip, and it's for such a time as this. And we're going to tie in a lot of teaching on how uniquely God is putting together this tour for such a time as this. And Jason is preparing a number of lessons and applications and devotional thoughts that'll keep us in God's Word, that'll see our unique role in serving the kingdom and serving mankind and loving on people for such a time as this. Because we're in stages where the world is hurting and people are looking for answers. And we have the answer, the gospel message. And so we're going to have that unique teaching on location where the biblical events took place, the very historical healings and teachings of Jesus, where he divided God's word, where he shared and he counseled and he prayed and he cried, and where he suffered, where he was brutalized, yet where he rose again, yet where he's going to return. We will be going to Israel. It's going to be March 2nd through the 13th. It'll be a 12-day tour. It'll include some mission humanitarian projects. And because of that fact, half the trip will be tax deductible. So you can literally raise funds to go on the trip. Half of the trip costs can be raised. Or if you don't want to raise the funds, you just want to pay the one fee, half of it will be tax deductible because of the humanitarian mission projects we'll be participating in. So we'll be saying more about that in the coming days. But the dates are March 2nd through the 13th, and we're very excited to have Pastor Jason Schiffo as our lead teacher with his beautiful sidekick, lovely Tasha, that's going to be assisting him and nurturing him along the way. And so
without her, I can't get the rabbit out of the hat. So.
Yeah. And so that'll be coming in March of 2013. So now would be a good time to make sure your passport is valid or in order, or to apply for a passport. They're good for 10 years. And I'll have more specifics on the trip costs and all that's involved, but it will be a what we're calling a serve and tour the Holy Land with Great News Radio for such a time as this. So if you have friends around the country, or for that matter, anywhere in the world, we can coordinate connecting flights. We'll be leaving out of O'Hare, flying to Newark, and then nonstop to Tel Aviv. So we can work those add-on flights if somebody wants to come from California or Atlanta or Florida or wherever. We can either get them to O'Hare or get them up to Newark, and then we'll all be on the jumbo jet to Tel Aviv, and that's on LL Airlines, Israeli Airlines. So that's a treat in and of itself. So anyways, those are the three items. If you need more information, we'll have these listed at our website, at our event calendar page, and we'll have more information in the coming days. So all right. Well, Jason, that does only leave us about 13 minutes in the book of Jude, but I know you've been excited these many weeks teaching and dividing on Sunday God's Word from the book of Jude, and then also many of our Wednesday editions of Mark and Friends have included the topic or the theme of the discussion on Jude. And so where do you want to start today?
I think when I was thinking about Jude, somehow in my mind came in that iconic scene in A Few Good Men, and I've used it, I think, when we've talked about Jobber, that, you know, where Tom Cruise is the lawyer, and he's asking Jack Nicholson on the stand. Jack Nicholson is a Marine officer. He's asking him questions, and you know, he says, "You want answers?" And you know, Tom Cruise says, "Well, I think I'm entitled to answers." And Jack Nicholson says, "You know, you want answers?" And Tom Cruise says, "I want the truth," you know, and Jack Nicholson says, "Son, you can't handle the truth." I mean, it's an iconic movie moment that when you say it, even kids, people who have never even seen the movie, they've heard it somehow and somewhere. And I thought about it because, you know, the enemy would seem to be like that Jack Nicholson character who would tell us that we can't handle the truth. I mean, we're the Tom Cruise character who's saying, I want answers. I think I'm entitled to understand. And there would be an enemy who would stand there and say, you can't handle this truth. You can't handle it. And when you move away from the truth because of fear or the enemy speaking to you, whatever it may be, you move from truth towards lie. You move from authority towards illegitimate authority. You move from morality into immorality. And Jude in chapter 1, and it only has one chapter, and verse 8, it says, in the very same way these dreamers pollute their own bodies. Now, real quick, if you miss the messages that preceded this, there's three of them. And those three messages that are archived at greatnewsradio.org under the archive tab there, those will give you the three ancient examples that Jude is giving concerning what these apostates and heretics are like. So you want to go back there, because now Jude is just going to reinforce yet again who these people are and what they are by some more examples. So we move deftly through this passage because, once again, Jude is using this, just reaffirming what he's already said. Plus, this part of the passage uses a bunch of non-canonical sources, which can be quite confusing for people because it's not in your Bible. But at the time, it was something that was available to the writer Jude. It was something that the canon had not yet been closed by the Holy Spirit. So they were available and used in terms of thought and what was going on. Another thing that we really need to talk about, need to understand, because a lot of people tell me, they go, well, I don't understand. We're studying the New Testament together, but we're always in the Old Testament. And the important thing for us to understand is Jude didn't have a New Testament. Paul didn't have a New Testament. Peter didn't have a New Testament. They might have had some letters, but they really didn't have a New Testament. So all that they knew, all that they drew context from, all that they understood came from the Old Testament. That's why Jesus refers to the Old Testament so many times. Peter and Paul and Jude and all these writers, John, talk about the Old Testament over and over again because it's where they got their context for who and what God is. So Jude says, in the very same way, these dreamers. And Jude's saying in the very same way because it's pointing back to those three ancient examples. Again, go to the archive tab and look at those. But in order to understand who these dreamers are, and this is an important point that he makes when he calls them dreamers, is we have to go to Deuteronomy chapter 13, and a rich passage in Deuteronomy 13. And this passage is one of the first mentions of dreamers. It says in 13, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign and wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of the prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. So what he's saying, what God's saying as he's revealing through this word, is if a prophet comes, somebody who says they're a prophet, and they say, oh, I'm a prophet, you know, God's speaking in and through me, and you can attach whatever your favorite, you know, prophetic kind of crazy person you watch on TV is. And they come and they say, I had a dream. God spoke to me. And he says, I need to build a giant, you know, church made of glass so that you can come worship here. You might want to stop, hit the brakes, go, ooh, I think I see a red flag or a check mark. You know, in terms of when Jesus said, Jesus called people to him and it says, and he says, let us follow other gods. This follow is the Hebrew words lechacharai. And lechacharai is the same words that Jesus uses later on to the disciples in Matthew when he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is the same thing. It doesn't mean necessarily following. It means to walk after. So here he's saying, and if he says, walk after these other gods, follow these other gods. Now what happens? It says you're going to, you won't know them. You're going to worship them. And that's all that's going to happen. You know, in Matthew, when Jesus says, Lechacharai, come follow me, come walk after me, what's the immediate thing that happens right after that? The disciples are transformed. They become fishers of men. They're no longer fishermen, but they become fishers of men. Here, this prophet and dreamer comes and says, come follow this God. And look, if you read this passage in Deuteronomy 13, there's no transforming moment. There's no moment. When you follow God, there's a transforming moment. Your life changes. And this prophet and dreamer, he doesn't change your life. He just has come unaffected. He even says a God you have not known. And that known there is deep down in your heart. Like when the first time you heard the name Jesus, and all of a sudden you couldn't hold back the tears. First time you heard the name Jesus, and you didn't know what, but all of a sudden you said, I have to walk after this person, this God. And that doesn't happen here. Yet God says, find out whether he's testing if you love him, love God. With all your heart and with all your soul. Man, that's Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus says you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Jewish brothers and sisters would say you love your God with all your heart and with all your soul in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. So right away, this is an intimate connection, almost a bridge point between what happens in Deuteronomy and what happens later on in Matthew. And it is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Listen, these are non-negotiables here. It's the word must. When God uses the word must in your life, it's you must. Keep his commands and obey him and serve him and hold fast to him. Notice that keeping his commands and obeying him, immediately you begin to serve him. You serve him. When you obey God's commands, I think I said it on Wednesday, when you begin to go into God's Word, you immediately fall out of the Bible and into serving and loving people. And the Bible affirms that here, too. And then it says that prophet and dreamer must be put to death. Now, this is both probably literal and metaphorical. There were probably some prophets and dreamers put to death, but it's also metaphorical. You must put them to death by putting them out of your mind. Because it says here, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. God brought you into salvation. He redeemed you. He brought you out of slavery. And I love verse 6. I love actually verse 6 and verse 8. And these are the last two I want to tackle in Deuteronomy 13. But 6 says, if your very own brother or your son or your daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let us worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your father have known. Note, number one, the intimate connection between the God my dad followed and the God I follow. That this lineage of faith and spirituality that comes through what your father followed and who he did. Notice it's a disciple-making passage. Your father discipled you in the way to go, and now you do it. And you'll be added to this lineage when you have kids, the God your father did. But it says if your brother or your son or your daughter, the wife you love or the closest friend you have, says, you know what? That Jesus, I don't know about that. Jesus says later on in Luke, he says, you might have to hate your brother and your mother and your father and your sister and your best friend. You may have to hate those things about them because you follow me now, because you have to love me with your whole heart, with your whole mind and your whole soul. And here, way back in the Old Testament, this is almost, Jesus is quoting this. Those people who go, you know what, the Old Testament is passé, it's past, you know, either they're dispensationalists or they go, you know, the Old Testament is just a bunch of stories. If it's a bunch of stories and if it's just passé, then why the heck does Jesus reference it so many times? He references it so many times because it is the power of God's Word. I think I've closed out the services on Sunday morning, and I read it somewhere and it really struck me. Like in the core of my heart, you know, it says God's word never returns void. It always accomplishes the mission from which it was sent to do. And it's the same thing here. That's why Jesus quotes us, because it doesn't return void. It has a mission. Now, down a little farther, like I said, verse 8 gets me really excited. It says concerning the person who's trying to bring you this dreamer or this prophet who's trying to bring you this other God. It says, do not yield to him. Or listen to him, show him no pity, do not spare him, and do not shield him. Now, you know why the passage is spoken this way, and you know why the passage says this? Listen to me real closely. Do not yield to him, do not listen to him, show him no pity, do not spare him, and do not shield him. Because if you yield, which means stop for him, you'll listen to him, won't you? And if you listen to him, you may show him pity. And if you show him pity, you may spare him. And if you spare him, you may, even subtly and unintentionally, shield him. You know, I've seen a lot of times Christians who they get somebody who doesn't know Jesus, who's following some other God, and they begin to do this process with them. And they do it with little or no discernment. And somebody comes up and they go, hey, you know, I'm starting to see a problem. And they go, wait, you just don't know this person. I mean, you're not being loving. You're not showing them Christian love. And you know what? You stopped and yield and you listened. and you began to have some pity, and you began to spare him, and subtly you began to shield him. But you know what? When you shield that person, you also shield their sin. And so you begin to go, you don't know that thing. You don't, you're just not one of those Christians who's loving. No, wait a second. The most loving thing in the world is the truth, because the truth is embodied by the most loving person in the world, and that's Jesus, who came to say more about the truth and more about heresy and more about the defection and departure from the truth than anyone else in the Bible. And the most loving person in the world went to the cross and died for the preservation of the truth. And so here, tucked back in Deuteronomy 13, is what will happen if we're not careful, if we don't discern well. And if I had to make one kind of point out of this passage in Jude, it's I wanted to make this. Because I know many times that I've stopped. Many times myself, I've listened, and my heart is broke open for somebody who's living in sin. And I began to show him pity, and in doing it, by showing him pity, going, well, you know what, that's not that bad. I mean, I want to love them, and maybe it's hard to love them and at the same time say, you know what, you can't live in that sin. You can't do that thing. And then I spared them. I even spared them maybe from the wrath of God, because I began to shield them from the wrath of God. And I began to shield them from other people who were speaking the truth, and in effect began to shield my own ears from hearing the truth. And my friends, we have to hear the truth. Because if we depart from the truth, we move towards a lie. Anytime you depart from something, you move towards something else. There's only a lie and there's only the truth. In the middle is a big gray area where you're moving towards one or moving towards the other. So my friends, I would say that today, just gird yourself in the truth of God through the obedience that comes through loving God with your whole heart and your whole soul, that you revere him and you keep his commands, that you follow and walk after him today, that you obey him, and because you're obeying him, you just want to serve him. And as you serve him, you hold fast to him. And I guarantee you, it will change your day.
Amen. Amen. The book of Jude. Powerful, convicting, yet the inspired word of God. There's a message for all of us. Read Jude today. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.